What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing.
Hey. We back again, and we back again, and we gonna do it to the early. Oh, now I have someone else hating on my intro music. We're gonna just jump right in. You know, I'm gonna give you very much. Who could I be? Not with Gail. I'm gonna be Gail King today.
Oh, wait, child.
Very controversial. I'm gonna get down to some things.
Do you think Gail is controversial?
Yeah, but I haven't introduced you yet. You already talked. You are now listening to What Works For Us. All black.
All queer.
Okay. We're going to leave it like that. Okay, so we have a guest, Emerson.
We do. We haven't had a guest. Oh, well, we had Kristen Dior.
We had Kristen Dior.
But we haven't had anybody like outside of her in a while.
In a long time. But, you know, I don't know all your credentials, so I'm a pass the mic to you before we check in.
I have no credentials. I am a human being walking this earth, taking it day by day.
Okay. Can you at least say your name?
Right. Which one?
The name you want people to...
Actually, I need to go by all of it. So, it's Warren John Blake Baker. You can find me on Instagram, Periscope. No, just playing. But no,
OnlyFans.
No, I don't do that. But I see people making a lot of money doing it. I don't know. But no, I need to start using my whole name. So that is I.
All right. Well, welcome, Warren John Blake.
Baker. Right, I'm just going with Warren.
We're going to go with Warren. So Warren is a very good friend of ours, friend of the show. We've been trying to get him on this podcast for, what, we ain't 2 years yet.
Oh, so my God. It has not been that long.
Well, it'll be 2 years in February.
Yeah.
But, man, Warren has been friends
moved to Texas.
Yeah, so I say about 7 years.
It's been that long?
Well, 8 years, but I think I might have been here a year. Well, no, because you was friends with Chris from the get-go, so probably the whole 8 years.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah, you know, my back-in-the-day behaviors.
Oh.
But,
Thank God we grown up.
child, after last week, though. So, anyway, we're not going to put that on the show. But,
leave that there.
So, what do you want to say? You do a lot of things. So, we know what your name is. What do you do?
Actually, I'm in social services.
Social services.
It is social services.
Okay. That's so broad.
Well,
okay.
I mean, we do a lot. I mean, anything ranging from children to children with special needs, to adults with special needs, to families who are displaced or out without resources. That's what we do. It's what I do.
Hmm. What's your sign?
Libra.
What's your favorite color?
Green.
Where were you born?
Right here in Austin.
What's your favorite hobby?
I have a lot of favorite hobbies.
Give me two.
Skating and playing my piano.
Okay. What's your favorite body part on a person?
Oh my God. That's deep.
I mean, I kept it PG. I'm a
chest man, breast man type of guy.
Okay. Real or fake?
Real. Like a fuck or fake.
I'm just saying. Some people like them, you know, either way. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was a little intro into Warren, but
you got to give me some more alcohol.
I know. Because we haven't even started yet. But to keep it going.
Let's go.
The listeners know what time it is. Edmondson, you feel me. You know what time it is. It is time to check in. So, I'm not Okay, I'll go first. We always let the guest go last so you can end it. So you have listened to the show before, nah. Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
I have.
Allegedly.
Especially when y'all put me in those stories, but go ahead.
We have dropped his name a lot on this show.
Yes, we sure have.
So
like I'm some kind of troublemaker. But go ahead.
Trouble. Real trouble, y'all.
Well, your most recent incident.
What was that?
We're not talking about it.
Oh, yeah, we're not talking about it because it involved me, right?
Right. No, we're not talking about that.
What's done in the dark must stay in the dark.
Right there.
It's not coming to light.
Please.
Not on my time.
Please.
I guess I'll go first. This week has been a mess. Mm. It's been so busy trying to do a certification 40 hours on top of working my regular jobs, on top of Zoom call after Zoom call, on top of hanging out with Warren, on top of everything. But, you know, it was one of my, and so I just finished up my training for my mental health peer specialist. So it has been a very rewarding week. I've met some incredible people across Texas, getting Texas certified. Incredible stories. Again, you guys know that I am a person in recovery. I'm in mental health recovery based on the things that I've went through around my status. I've told you guys my story and, you know, losing a loved one and just a history of mental health issues in my family. So I think it's important for me to do the clinical work around, well, non-clinical. It's non-clinical. Let me correct myself. Yeah. Peer work is non-clinical. We support the system, but we're not of the system. And that's kind of where we come from. So that's been really, really rewarding week. I'm glad it's over, though. Like, I took a good 30-minute nap before this podcast, so I'm excited.
Oh, so you ready for the night?
I have to catch a flight 6 in the morning. So
it's 6 in the morning. I don't know why I keep on thinking 6 p.m.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to get a little something in, you know, wash a little something, and then, you know, I've been known to go straight to the airport cocktailed. So, you know, maybe I just...
You got to now. Uber. They're not giving you alcohol on the flight.
There's no alcohol on the flights no more?
No, sir.
Not even wine?
No, sir.
Why? What's up with this new? You got me making me refill my glass. I feel like girl, it might not be no more. Let me
ask you this. What are you flying?
American.
Yeah, they're gonna give you a sani wipe and a bag with some crackers and a bottle of water, and that's your flight treat.
Oh my god. Yep. I can't pull the card out to get a little something.
Nope.
Oh my god. But what's the behind that? What is the reasons why they're not...
To keep everyone with their mask on.
Mm. Okay. So eliminate consumptions. Okay.
Yeah. And food. Yeah.
Ugh. Horrible. Well, I just go
Tell
there.
Tell me about it.
I go there ready, especially that early, because they're not going to be open anyway, so I'm going to have to go in. So preparing for that. Ariana Grande just came out with a song today. I've been just jamming to that. I think I listened to it maybe 100 times. And, you know, it's about positions and, you know, going from the kitchen and going to the bedroom and all of that stuff. So if you haven't heard Positions, make sure you guys go take a listen. But, no, it's been a good week. Oh, I watched... Unsolved. First of all, I didn't go to bed till like 2 o'clock this morning watching Unsolved Mysteries. They put the new chapter on Netflix.
After you left early last
night. Okay. I tried to go to bed, but they, you know, Netflix will get you when they do a Friday drop.
They do that drop, yeah.
They do that Friday drop, and
and you got to watch the whole series.
Oh my god, it was a really good episode. But I'm not gonna tell y'all about the episodes today. But the next check in, we're gonna go through some of those episodes. But that's it for me. Everything was popping with you.
Well, first of all, I kind of want to say something about the music. I want to say shout out to the remix and the remix coming back. I just realized that I'm like, the remixes are back now.
Oh, yeah, everybody. That's the only way these songs are charting.
Well, right, but they was gone for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Remixes used to be the thing, and then they went away, and then they kind of like snuck up. I'm like, wait a minute. Remixes are back now.
Yes.
Okay, so I welcome them back.
So since we're talking about remixes, we have to shout out our Detroit-owned. Well, okay, he's controversial now.
Oh,
we wrote him off. We wrote him off before he even got started. But he, okay, in his defense, he was already controversial. Like, my sister Nia loves Sada Baby. He's a Detroit upcoming rapper. Mm-hmm. And he's really crazy. Like, he says the craziest things on his records for attention. And they his old Twitters came back up. His But if you listen to his music, it's worse than whatever he would write on Twitter. He, I mean, the single right now is talking about he's fucking one of the Winey's granddaughter. And why would you disrespect the Winey's? You know, that is Detroit royalty. But it's kind of funny. But shout out to the, you know, the whole lot of Chopper remix with the Queen Nikki. But anyway, go ahead, Emerson. I didn't mean to put that on your that's right, not your that's check not, yet. That was
not. Ooh, I was thinking about when I was on my remixes.
Well, shout out.
But, you know, but
a whole lot of choppers. Oh, go ahead.
Well, first, I want to go talk about that for a second. I just wish people, if they are, you know, I really, when I saw that they made an apology, I'm like, why did he make an apology? I'd rather you just stand in your truth. If that's how you feel, then so fuck you.
And even if that's not how you feel, we know a lot of them do that for attention. They do it to try to get attention when nobody knows who they are. That's what's coming up with a lot of these, the City Girls, and remember we found out they old tweets. So I don't know.
I mean, but I just say stand in your truth. If you feel, I don't need the apology. Like, oh yeah, now I forgive you because you said some shit. Especially him being from Detroit, he probably like all them niggas I'm to school with.
But it was 9 years ago. Well, that's what he
I
was mean, saying.
But if that's how he feels, I say that's how you feel. Okay. I mean, I just say stand in it, but I guess you can't have to
stand in. I'ma flip this girl, Amali, and rape her, and get one of my homeboys and rape her. Oh no,
I'm not talking about that. Well, I'm talking about the. I was talking about the anti-gay stuff.
Oh yeah, he threw that in, but it was the rape stuff that was really just too much. I was talking about that stuff. Rape her tonight.
Well, I mean, it's so much more worse than even other artists that come out there with that. But anyway, my check-in, I guess. I really don't have much to say.
Ellison, stop it.
I don't. I ain't did shit. It's, but since the last time we checked in, what have I done? Probably nothing. I started taking sea moss. I finally tried some sea moss.
Oh, you got some sea moss?
I have some sea moss. And I mean, it's not, you can't take stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God, it changed my life. You have to keep on taking it.
Yeah, every day, right. Yeah. You know, these girls be trying.
Right, they're like, oh my God, I took this sea moss. It got me, I'm all doing everything around the house. Girl, you just took it today.
Right,
like,
calm down.
It did not have that type of effect on you.
Like, first, the goalie of the apple cider vinegar, these girls is on there acting like they had lost the inches.
Oh my God.
Girl, I took that whole bottle and lost no inch. You ain't losing all them inches for no apple cider gummy bear.
First of all, when they do that, and then, but some people know they run, they need to stop doing that shit anyway, because they be all, they be having the waist trainers on and the rolls be coming out the side, and they be like, well, I said that I'm lost weight. No, you don't not look like you lost your weight.
It was on the side.
Right.
You lifted your weight.
Right. And my thing is this, then, I'm not trying to say, I'm just stop being fraudulent. I hate those. It's like, and just like the tees and stuff, I wish these girls would stop. But yeah, no, no effect really yet, but
oh, day one, right?
Back to that.
Right.
But that sea moss, though, it will, they say, you will start feeling it soon.
Oh well, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm on day 3, so we'll see. I wanted to do it because, you know, I've been having issues with allergies lately. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk about this last episode, but I have just not been feeling, I wasn't feeling too high. I was doing all that overtime work and I wasn't feeling good. Like, I was just really out of, I was just feeling a lot of pressure and all this type of things, allergy shit. And I was like, well, you know, I've been eating trash and garbage. I can't believe you're hot.
Everything, go ahead.
I done took my jacket off. So
I don't know. Oh my God. What, oh, y'all drinking that wine.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Did you just do it?
Yeah, she's drinking her emoji.
Right. I guess I'm drinking water and I'm hydrated. But,
And sea moss. I guess she's on
she's
the
just doing right. Things. She's doing it. She's got it. A clean body.
Right. I'm all the way clean. I'm all the way right now. I live my life clean. I mean, just like all the rest of the girls. But no, so that's it. I'm trying to think of what else, anything else new that's going on. It's really not nothing else going new. It's the same old shit, just a different day. Other than that, I feel like, well, I say I feel better since I was saying I eat like trash because I've been eating those frozen pizzas every single day. Like Tyreek said, I was crazy. I was mental last week because he said I eat the same thing every day.
You always re-quoting me. Like every time I say something, you bring it back up.
Well, you remember everything I do that's bad. I just bring it. I just say it out loud to public. But you remember anything I do bad, you always remember it to a T. You did this and that. Did I?
Allegedly.
No, you do. You remember anything I do bad, ask Tyreek. He'll tell you to a T what I did. But anywho.
It's not ask Abby, okay?
That would be nice if we could do something like that.
Okay, right. People just send in, what you call it, anonymous questions, and I answer them.
but we answer them.
I don't want to hear none of y'all's answers. Mm-mm, I'm scared.
I ain't got nothing to hide. Mm-mm.
Scared.
They can ask me anything. Yeah, but other
not about hiding, honey. It's what you gonna say.
Well, I don't. We all got grown at the end of the day.
No filter.
Right, no fucking filter. But no, that's it. I'm trying to think, is there nothing else? I have not done anything. It's just another week.
You didn't do no overtime this week?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't do any. I didn't do no overtime, so I was just a lazy bum.
Give us one of your posts of the week. Fashion posts.
Yes, you've been pumping them out. Yeah, I've been seeing them lately.
Yeah, right. You've been pumping them out.
It is alive.
Right. You've been pumping it.
We could talk about
the one with the pants.
Right, the Zoom one I made. I was like, I asked the question. I was like, do you one of those people who only dress, fully dressed from the top or from the waist above and don't, you know, really care about the bottom? Because there's been some incidents lately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, that's why you should come to Zooms fully dressed, because you just never, ever know if something's going to happen, if you're going to have to get up. Right, because you might get up, you just forget. Like, oops, I'm on camera. And sometimes you might not remember you have it on. Like somebody forgot that the camera was on, or they claimed they forgot the camera was on, or they was making something else happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Pulling on that monkey.
Yeah. Right.
They did say, I thought I'd hit pause. How you?
Right.
First of all, what made you want to do it right here, right now?
First of all, the person. Did somebody was on the
video saw you? Somebody on the video turned you on?
Right.
Who was on the other side of that computer he was looking at? Mm. You never know.
Well, yeah, okay. Somebody could have turned him on the Zoom, and he just had to get that out.
Okay. Yeah, he couldn't wait.
With their clothes.
Right. With their clothes, all right.
Like, I'll be at work, and sometimes I see somebody, I'm like, you going to be in my head tonight.
Oh! Wait a minute. Is this something that's happening?
You ain't never, like, got, like, somebody that got you, like, hot bothered during the day?
Oh, no.
And you had to, like... It could be anywhere.
I'm talking about Zoom.
But I'm not going to do it.
He personally.
Right, he does anywhere.
Right, I'm not going to say that. It's like,
kind of like at the bar last night.
That's different. I've been still thinking about that three-way situation. I just want to go
you
to the house.
All sizes.
Can I just bring a pie or something over?
With Billy Pie.
Yeah, like I'm new to the neighborhood. And
with a lot of cream on it.
It's these bartenders, y'all. They are so fine. It's three of them. They all live together. Mm-hmm. And they live with a particular person we're not going to say on the show.
We're not going to say no names.
That really just child, I would just say he gets around. Now, he is a busybody, and he act like he ain't, but... We'll talk about that offline. But anyway, you're back to you.
Oh, well, no. Well, yeah. So that's what I was asking. Tyreek was talking about just in general. I was saying
but
Zoom
just
calls.
Even on Zoom. It's been a few of them. Like,
well, I mean, have you been turned on from somebody on Zoom?
I actually do. I have to check in with a particular grant that I have. And, you know.
The doctor.
No, I'm not, and I'm not giving any hints. Mm-hmm. And during we had a in-person meeting before COVID in New Orleans back in February.
Ooh, see a city.
Ever since then, we have to do like monthly check-ins with this particular grant funder, and the person that I do the check-ins with, you know, I just keep thinking about that time they was like dropping in hot. During the conference at the club.
He dropped it. Oh, about to say, he was dropping like it's hot on the Zoom?
No, so I keep thinking about that
That's
one time.
That's a hell of a meet, right?
Babe. I'm like, what is going on Zoom? I'm missing out.
Yeah, I'll be all in the background. What you doing? Like, who is I keep it professional.
That's why I stopped showing my background.
Oh, you do the little fuzzy.
I don't like those. I don't like them. But somebody was like, don't let people see your background. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Because people do. They be all up in like, oh my God. I love what you have on your floor. Why are you in my house? You have my favorite color scheme. Why are you all up in behind here? You got a jacket back there on your chair.
So do you blur it out or do you do like the fake?
I switch it. I blurred it one day. I don't like the blur.
I think I like the blurb better than the fake. The fake be throwing me off.
The fake really fucks me up.
Yeah, it be fucking me up. The Golden Girl ones get me every time. Like, y'all go just be sitting in the Golden Girl's house. Like, that would get me every time.
But no, so yeah, well, tales of the Zoom calls. Tyreek is all over the place. But, I mean, anyway, that's it for me. You know.
Just saying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, you can't never handle the business, like, you know, during the day. But you know... You know, anyway, so Warren.
It's your time to check in. You know how to check in. Go. How's your week been?
Stressful. My nonprofit had state inspections this week, so that was. We have them this week and next week, or finish this week and start again next week. That's 26 sites, doing 3 inspections a day, 2 hours per site, per inspection. But the good thing about it is it's Zoom inspection.
Well, how do you do a Zoom inspection? Like, what did they, are they just asking so you questions?
They need to see exactly what we're doing, who we're catering to, what resources we're giving, who's receiving the resources. They need to see that our demographic matches what we're turning in as far as the statewide system is concerned. It's a lot of factors that have to be.
So when you say see, are you providing this via documentation or you on the camera?
We're like, on the camera.
I'm serving black kids. You see them?
Like, literally with an iPad walking around so that they can see. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to actually do the inspection for the inspector.
The inspector will call. They'll send a 20-minute warning and say, hey, I'm sending you a link. That's the link you log on at the certain time. And at that time, you get on. Everybody introduces themselves.
Oh, the staff got to be there.
Staff, too. Yep.
Oh, my God. This is the whole Zoom world.
Right. That is a totally different situation.
So you got to show everything. But, I mean, that's a good thing. And it's because they...
Well, for my staff, it's frustrating because they're like, well, I can't get my services done for having to hold an iPad up while I'm interacting with a parent and their child, or while I'm interacting with the family, and then you have to get the family's permission. So the area that we serve is predominantly black and brown, and then on top of that, they're at or below the property line. So the other thing is you have to get their consent. So we're tipping on a lot of lines because technically you can't take a picture of a minor, let alone side a video a minor.
Oh.
So it's like, it's everything that you have to do to get into this. And then if the parent refuses, then the inspector, that's like a mark. That person is writing down, you know, parents
but how can you...
to get on camera. And yes, it is frustrating. And there are remedies for that. Once the inspection's over, we have 15 days to appeal it if it's not in our favor. And then, you know, because we record everything that we do, that's our proof that, no, the parent denied being on the camera. Yes, they did, because it's their rights.
So, but you get penalized for them?
We can get penalized, yes. It depends on who your inspector is, which is a whole nother subject when it comes to doing business with the state of Texas or any government agency. You have persons that think they're detectives or law enforcement, and so they feel like they can interrogate or make a person feel less than what they are, which is not our intent. So if I come to you, Tyreek, or to you, Edmondson, and you have a family of 4, you know, spouse and 2 children, and your income is $30,000 a year, which is below the property level, because right now, a family of 4, you have to make under 34,000 dollars.
Oh, that's oof! I don't know how you survive it with 30. See, we were just talking about the gap in wealth in America. Like,
it's
how
real.
In the hell do you survive on $34,000
with
4
kids? Real. It's real.
In Austin, you have to be on government subsidy. Like, how can you pay rent in Austin, Texas with 4 kids
and
with $34,000?
We live in a state. Austin is, or Central Texas, well, no, not Central Texas, I take that back. Austin is a liberal, kind of far left, type of a city, and most of the cities in the area follow Austin's leeway, except if you go further north, Round Rock, Hutto, they don't.
Wilco.
Basically, Wilco. or if you go east, like Bastrop, they don't, even though that's one of the poorest counties in Texas, Bastrop is.
But it's also one of the blackest, right?
It used to be. It used to be. It's not anymore. But yeah, it's taxing. You know, this week was taxing. It was just having to facilitate the ones that I facilitated, and I'm the type of person that we're gonna get this right the first time around because I don't have time to appeal anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I push back. It's like, well, you hear this woman saying she does not want to be on the camera. I mean, I'm holding my phone sideways talking to the woman with the camera facing outward saying, I need your permission to put you, you know, on this inspection, blah, 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 explaining everything. And the person is listening. But, you know, some inspectors are like, they refuse to be on the camera. So we can't count what you did for them.
So could you
Be time stamped.
Oh my God. See, so how can they, child? I guess that's the advantage and the disadvantage of the whole virtual.
Well, I mean, it's just like them coming out. Like I told the lady yesterday, I'd rather for you just to come out. If you have to sit in your car, just come out, because this is taxing. One of the sites that this particular site has 426 families, and there's no way you want me to hold something up through each process. There's no way.
Right, so they can see what's going on.
Yeah, so they can see that I'm really giving this family a $100 gift card.
That's going to interrupt the workflow.
It interrupts everything. Shit. But yeah, it is what it is.
So did you have good, did you pass the ones you had today, or you don't know?
This week we passed all but one, which was Monday, and that was only because I got caught off guard, and we didn't have what was needed to do the Zoom calls. So we had to do photos and voice recordings, and they weren't happy with the photos, and the voice recordings were kind of distant, which I can understand that. But picture-wise...
What's wrong with the photos? Were there black people in the photos?
It was black and brown people in the photos. It's just... They needed... Again, this is another one of those situations where they have to see the faces to say...
What were y'all showing? Arms?
Below the neck, because we didn't have permission.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then, like, how far are you going below the neck?
So, Tyreek, bring your family up, and you know we're giving the $100 gift card today.
We coming through. We're going to be in our Fendi, and we coming through. Like, girl, we heard they giving out gift cards.
Not Fendi, huh?
We're going to have our Fendi. You know I'm going to have my baby in some Fendi. We're going to come up and get this funding.
And so I took a picture of the parent, and then her kids were standing right there, and she's at the table signing the a testament saying that I agree that my income level is at or below whatever that dollar amount is for the amount of people in our household. And then she signs another statement saying I received X amount of dollars from our organization. And that's what the pictures were about.
Question. So, like, going back to my Fendi, right? Mm-hmm. So, if my clothes...
I can't discriminate on your looks.
So if my wardrobe value...
Can't discriminate.
Do I have to add that a part of my income?
No, your income is what you attest to on the paper. Like, we don't even ask for documentation. You have to attest to it.
So, if I have, like, all, like... Fendi, Gucci, Birkin bags in my closet.
I got people coming in with 2020 Escalades.
Coming in and getting some $100. Well, I mean, that's how you stay. I mean, because if I subsidize.
$100 a day, yes, I'll go every day. Yeah, that's $500 at the end of the week.
Okay, baby, that's gross.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. It's $100 max, but it steps on what you're, like, if you're a household of two, it's $25. If you're a household of three, it's $50.
$25?
Yeah. A day.
Well, how many tombstones is that episode?
Don't do me.
That's
five.
Damn.
You like, baby, let me pull up.
But don't do me.
Don't do me, but let me pull up. Okay, so is there anything else that you're checking? I mean,
Well, okay, I'm kind of went over my head. I'm sorry. I'm the dumb blonde today, so I'm just going to be asking all the stupid questions.
You got one on your shirt.
Just today?
Yeah. So I've been channeling my inner Marilyn Monroe today.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Listen, I did not say Marilyn Monroe was a dumb blonde, allegedly.
Right.
Go ahead.
she practiced the behaviors of one for money.
Uh-huh.
But so if I, why would I even come? Do you, like, why would I even come to one of your establishments if I was like, why? What if? I know you said social work and you help people under a certain like income bracket, but like, what all can I come to you for? Just for, like you said, the $100.
So right now, our biggest funding is making sure households have meals of some sort.
Oh, okay.
So it's one or two options. It's you take the money or you take the box. Well, yeah, it's literally one of the, right now, we've done counseling in the past where we refer, where we get funds to refer to separate entities outside of our jurisdiction. We've done housing vouchers where right now is really needed, but with the current programs in the county, you can only, as a nonprofit, facilitate one.
Okay.
Because they want all of the nonprofits to have a chance to, because that's how we make our money. We what we give you, we bill the county. So we bill the county 15% of whatever we give out. So that's how we survive.
Sure. Can I show up by myself?
Just as long as you make under $12,850.
How long do you got to prove? Like,
no, you just, you're signing on the testament with your name and your social security number. So, but thing about that is it's a random pool. So when I turn my paperwork in to the whatever agency is paying us, it's like a lottery. They'll pull it and run your social and run like a soft credit check. And if it shows that your income is more than that, then they're sending you a letter. That's what their testament is.
What worked for us is trying to get a food budget. Mm-hmm. We'd be able to supply, you know, wine, fruit snacks, mm-hmm. popcorn, tombstones, and yeah, all those little things. So mm-hmm. could we come through with our, you know, Gucci big sunglasses so you can't see our eyes? So you're not going to know it's me. I come mm-hmm. in disguise, mm-hmm. put a little... Something on my head. I don't know what Emma's.
But I'll know it's you because you're gonna show me your ID and sign and put your social on there.
I have fake IDs.
You don't have a fake social, do you?
I could just make one up. How you gonna verify it at the time of service?
It's not up to me.
I'm just okay. But y'all didn't hear that from me. I'm not a scammer.
It's not up to
me. Okay, so how do you handle scammers? What is the biggest scam have you seen? Whether it's a peer scam or somebody you're giving service to.
It's a moral thing for me. So I've been doing this for 18 years and I see a lot of... Fuck you. I see a lot of organizations come in and cheat the system. And when they cheat the system, organizations like me who are kind of grandfathered in face challenges in funding. And so my morality will say, I'll 9 times out of 10 give an anonymous call and say, hey, this organization is. Yeah.
You're a whistleblower.
I will be, yeah. Definitely. Well, because, again, I've been doing it 18 years. Y'all. Shit. I don't want nobody to jeopardize the programs for others.
Right. Yeah. The real.
That are, you know, we're facilitating it like we're supposed to. And then Johnny Come Lately comes on and like, because they see we're doing it, they feel that they can do it. And then they give, like they overextend. Like I had a guy in Houston. He was the first person to help me write my first grant. And he told me, he's like, I'm gonna help you write your first one. And after that, you're on your own. And I appreciated him for that. And so when I finally came into my own, I paid him back by showing him some resources within the state. And he kind of threw me under the bus. And now he's like millions and millions of dollars indebted to the state because of his greediness.
Oh, and that's the one, like the nonprofit service. Like that's a big thing. Like people getting these grants. Have y'all been hearing about all of these COVID
scams and shit? Yeah.
NFL players, NCAA basketball players
using and these foundations are just the ones to get
that got caught.
Yeah.
Child.
No, it's real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Everybody trying to get a scam and to be having money.
My thing is, if you do it right. Well, no, if you do it right, I mean, look at my lifestyle.
Oh, if you do the
program right, not okay. Scamming okay. Right.
I wanted you to clarify.
Do not scam. Right. If you run your program right.
Joanne the Scammer. I miss her.
Who?
Joanne the Scammer.
Who is that?
The like the biggest like social media entity scammer.
Child. Well, you know, I hope he's okay because I think they say he went away because his mom had passed.
His mom had passed, but I think he had made some appearances by, you know, he went to MTV and all of that. The Joanne the Scammer. Mm. After she was, you know what? She was doing OnlyFans before OnlyFans even exists. Mm-hmm. She was like one of the first OnlyFans. But anyway,
who's she a grandma? I mean,
she an OG. She an OG, baby. She was teaching y'all
how to run the program.
Okay, all right, but that's good. So yeah, so just what Warren is saying, it is opportunities out there, coins to get, but it's also to actually do the right thing, right? Yes. We hear all the time about these organizations and these nonprofits getting all this money and just scamming, and then it's like they don't get away with it.
No,
it
comes back. They really don't.
Like it only goes so far, you know. And I always wonder, like, with people when they get away with a lick and they try to flip that lick and they flip that lick. It's like
shit. Them licks get caught up.
Yeah, like girl, let it go. Yeah.
But it becomes addictive.
It becomes addictive. Yeah. So, Warren, other people might not know, I know that you ran for state representative of Texas 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
2 years ago, and you have future goals, maybe near future goals, to run for city council, then, of course, mayor of the city of Austin.
The mayor is a dream, yeah.
Is it a dream?
It's a dream.
It was all a dream. I used to read What Up magazine. Is that how I go?
Yeah.
I'm getting a little tipsy off my wine. It is.
We know you drank the whole bottle.
Okay. We don't all drink the whole bottle.
Yes, you do. Can you share a little bit?
Girl, you ain't
damn. No, I'm fine.
I love the way wine tastes. So we just want to ask you some questions because, you know, Emerson's here, right? And yes. Emerson, we had a couple episodes around, like, elections, voting, and really, you know, politics.
Yeah.
And Emerson likes to be the one that represents the everyday Joe. The everyday Joe that's not a part of the political system, that doesn't follow the system, not watching CNN day in, day out, don't really care what, you know, Sean King and them girls and Amanda Seals and them girls over there doing. Now, Emerson
I do hear about them.
I was about to say, Emerson does follow the black Twitter movement. And all of their kind of...
The grassroots people.
Yeah, the grassroots people around what's going on. So we want to have kind of a political episode, but also just talk about maybe some issues that... And really try to figure out, because since you have ran for state, you know, one of the things that we always hear about and people say, and even Evanston has said on the podcast, like, well, I always vote for the president. Like, that's, you know, I always exercise that right. But I might miss some local ones. I might miss some runoff. I might miss, you know, a vacant city council seat. I might miss, you know, Julie Oliver and what's the other girl, the other state representative. She's running right now. Well, she's already in the position. The main chick. I can't even think of her name right now. But anyway, so state representative, Senate, tax. Assessor, I don't know, judge, you know, county, you know, all of these positions that are literally elected. Mm-hmm. And that's the crazy part. Like, we in a system where we have all these elected positions and the people barely, rarely know any. It's like, we talked about this on the episode. It's meant for us not to even know that these are, you would think like most of these judges are appointed. None of them are appointed. They're literally elected.
They're elected, definitely.
So if most of the general population, a.k.a. black folks that we talk about, that we care about, don't even know who elected these folks and who are the people that's getting elected.
Okay.
The judges that we got to see when some shit
go down.
But we not even nowhere near in the process.
No.
Of dealing with it.
We don't even know who the judges are and they're elected.
Yep.
It is a literally elected position. And, you know, and when I found that out, because I'm not going to lie, like, of course, when I found, you know, I was in college when I found it out. But before that, I didn't know that you elect judges.
And it's a lifetime lifetime election aside from the big topic now, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, and it set the tone for when we talk about law enforcement, not necessarily law enforcement, but really the repercussions of, like, okay, you get caught with weed, how many, you know, what happens, right? What is your sentence? Or what? But we talk about black folks, and we know these systems that have been in place against black folks, but we're not even at the table to even elect the people when we do have a vote. But they don't want us to know that. So we're going to grill you a little bit.
Let's go.
So, Emerson, do you have any questions off the bat?
No, not yet, but I'm going to have some for sure.
Okay, so I want to go back to your 2 years ago, to your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You were running for what? When you say your district, what does that mean?
Okay.
And when you say, like, the office you was running for, what does that mean? Break it down for us.
All right, so I was running for a statewide office, which included three cities and two counties. So it included parts of East Austin, all of Manor, parts of Pflugerville, and parts of Pflugerville up into the Williamson County part of Pflugerville. So it was District 46, which is a predominantly black district. And it was kind of one of those districts when the legislator back in 2010 did redistricting, was kind of carved out, like, oh, okay, we'll give the black people some space, basically. And it was very apparent at the time, because that's the only statewide office. If you look at the representatives on the state level from the city of Austin, that has a minority representation, and it's only one, which makes no sense.
So the position, so it was a state representative.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the House of Representatives of
the state Texas.
Texas. So correct. The Texas House of Representatives.
Correct.
And the state replicates the federal level. So that means you have the Senate, you have a Texas Senate, and mm-hmm. you have a Texas House.
Texas House, correct.
And how many representations of representatives, I guess,
in the state of Texas,
depends for the on state the of population Texas. In the particular areas?
Correct.
Okay. So I just wanted to...
So there are currently 168 state representatives and 76 state senators.
Mm. Okay, so dumb line question for the people like me.
For the people, I was ready.
So there's all these state representatives. So that means that when we have issues, like, what particular issues had you like gotten office? What particular issues, since you're our state representative, or if I was in one of your districts and you was am I saying this right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you were my state representative, what type of issues should I be bringing to you to take to what's the next level?
The national level.
Okay, so to the national level to fight for me. Like, I could just say, go ahead.
A question with that, though, because when we talk about separation of powers, like, anything that happens on the state is not necessarily something that goes to the federal level, because every state has its own sovereignty.
And Texas is actually, every state has their own, you're right, sovereignty. Texas is the only state in the union that has its own independence, which most people don't know.
ASID.
And our flag can stand alongside the U.S. flag, whereas other states, their flag has to kneel down to the U.S. flag, if that makes sense.
Oh.
Because Texas was once its own country, and when we agreed to become a state under President Sam Houston, the agreement was Texas will remain independent but participate on the federal level.
We don't pay taxes. We don't pay.
That's why we don't have a state tax. We don't have certain things that other states have.
The more you know.
The more you know. So if you pay attention, like at a funeral, at a dignitary's funeral, if you look at all 50 flags, 49 of them are bent down, and Texas and the U.S. flags are the only two flags that are straight up.
What?
Girl. We know these Texas girls. They right, think they're their own country. We say it all the time.
Well, I mean, that's why we call it the Lone Star State.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, education. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... So what would I come to you for? Like, what should I be bringing?
So,
how can you help me as far as if I'm just one of these disenfranchised people in one of these neighborhoods who...
So you're in Pflugerville, right?
In Pflugerville.
So who is his state representative?
It would be currently Cheryl Cole.
And Cheryl Cole beat you in the last election.
She did, yeah.
So she is your...
She is your representative.
So Cheryl, so what should I be going to ask Cheryl?
Right now you would want to tell Cheryl...
Keep it cute.
I am.
Okay.
You know, this is not a Biden-Trump situation. Okay. It's a, for me, what's in the best interest for the people.
Okay.
Win or lose, it was always, for me, what's in the best interest of the people. And actually losing opened more doors to do things in the best interest of the people, if that makes sense.
Because you're not stuck in, like, political world. You can maneuver a little
and
bit.
And even me, politically... I'm not that guy. I mean, you can give me money to try to buy my vote, but it's not going to go your way if that's not where the vote needs to be. Because currently, right now, in this upcoming, and that's the other thing, our system only operates biannually every odd year. So our upcoming legislative session is starting January 2021, January 5th, right when we come into the new year, and it goes through June, just close to Juneteenth is when the last week is. And so those legislators have 6 months to cram in 2 years worth of budget, 2 years worth of guidelines, 2 years worth of policies and procedures. And on top of that, with the governor making executive orders during Corona, they have to now go in and figure out how to pay for what he's allowed. For this past year, which was not in the budget, the current budget, and the future budget. So they have a lot to do, and a lot of funding is not going to flow the way that it used to. And so one of my biggest champions was to make sure our historically black institutions kept their funding, because there are only three in Texas, or four in Texas. And so if the budget at the rate that it's looking now, those institutions are going to lose about 25-30% of their funding in these upcoming budgets. God. Which is like, I went to HBCU, so we already we're behind the curve, and we're a small institution. So a 30% blow to your budget is going to kill it.
Yeah, and I mean, well, this is totally off topic, or kind of, because I still need my question answered about what Cheryl needs to be doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to get back to it. I ain't forgot.
Cheryl needs to be doing. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's kind of off topic what we're talking about, but it's talking about as far as schools go. Like, what was this school? It was the first Knoxville College.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like one of the first black colleges that slaves and stuff, they were descendants of slaves, was able to go to. Well, it's still open, supposedly. But
it's not accredited.
And it's... I'm sorry. It's raggedy as fuck. Like,
kind of like Morris Brown.
I watch these little boys or these men on YouTube. They go through abandoned dental. So I think they're reopening back up. But when they went through it, it was closed, or parts of it was like closed. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, is this school open in 1965? And they was like, the school closed in 2003. I was like, how are these schools competitive with other schools, and they're using computers from 1995? Like, how is that possible?
But a lot of them are not. Like, no shade to but let's take HT for example. Let's take HT.
Mm-hmm.
HT, Houston Tillerson
University.
It is the oldest institution in Austin.
The oldest institution of higher learning.
Mm-hmm. And it is the only HBCU in Austin.
Correct.
You know, I've known some people that say they graduated but didn't, but you did graduate,
correct,
right? You're not an Austin Chronicle saying you graduated. Okay.
Ooh, I caught that.
The
shame. I'm just saying.
Caller, are you listening?
We just got some girls that, you know, they love HT so much, they have claimed the diploma.
I'm not going to discredit the school. I am glad for the HBCU experience.
I always say when I actually graduated from PWI, like later on in life, I was pro PWI because I grew up in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I was like, I do not want to go. Why would I want to go from King to an HBCU? You know what I'm saying? Like my mm-hmm. whole life was HBCU. Yeah. So I really wanted a PWI. But once I graduated, I'm like, oh, but I feel like the HBCUs, they're so concentrated. They kind of prepare people for the real world. You have the fraternities and sororities. I feel like they do their best to really try to put like black, you know, college students on a track to success.
Well, when you, and if you go to any HBCU and that freshman class, that 101 introduction to black college life, that professor will tell you, and that's in any across the U.S., if you're here, it's because you want to far exceed the intelligence or educational mindset of that of your white counterpart. Mm.
That's deep.
Well, I know somebody who's claimed that she was like, she went to HBCU and she was like, she wouldn't have her kids go because she's like, they didn't, probably what I just said. She said, no shade, I'm not, this is other people's opinion. She said,
but
they didn't prepare
HBCU
her.
Is not for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, so I'm about to say, like, so HT, right? HT is pretty old.
It's old.
Like,
the buildings are dated.
The website barely works. No shade to HT. We just call it.
When the last time you've been on it, they done did some upgrades.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm getting the click and the click. Yeah,
click through.
I like to click through.
I was surprised.
Okay. And it's not even a bad about bashing
the whole
them
library is online now.
The whole point that I'm making is those fundings
you need
that the HBCU needs because they're already on the lower end of the stick, as you know,
that
as we see them doing GoFundMes. We have HBCUs doing GoFundMes to stay open,
which is sad.
Higher education institutions have to go out and rally from either probably, you know, alumni or, you know, city,
big
stakers. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a lot of big
endowments.
Businesses. Mm-hmm. Endowments. In which most universities are, endowments is the bread and butter, right? That's your backbone. Like, your endowment really,
holds you.
That kind of lets you know where your status is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how people get all pretentious. Oh, we have a $1 billion endowment at this university. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
we can go another 100 years.
So what do you do? Okay, so you're running, say if you were running on that, like, okay, HBCU. So you know that HBCUs in Texas, specifically Austin, in this particular district.
I can tell you all four. It'll be Austin, Jarvis, PV, and TSU. Well, PV, let me take that back. PV has kind of a curve because they are part of the Texas A&M system. Mm-hmm. So they kind of get money out of auntie's purse, basically.
Mm. That's the purple yellow school.
Purple and yellow school in the country. And you know, we talk about gentrification and you go to PV, you get confused.
The school or the surrounding?
The school.
They got white folks in PV?
Oh, on the football team, basketball team, band. They even got a color guard.
Hell no. In my Maya Wilkes voice. Oh, hell no. They got a white person on the band at a HBCU?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hell no. That sounds ridiculous. I'm not here for that.
Well, my thing is, we fought so hard as a people to have our own, only to let someone come in and be a part of it that once didn't want to have anything to do with mm-hmm. us as a black person.
Well, black people are always doing that. That's why I said what I said a couple of weeks ago mm-hmm. when we were talking about all black, and I said, yes, all black.
You see them little white gays that be on the little, doing the little AKA lines?
No, fuck that. Fuck
you
that.
You see them little white gays, they be...
And they be trying to do their little strut.
And they be thick. I'm like, where y'all get these white girls? Gays, maybe thick, trying to act like
that's their new Similac.
We talked about that Similac. Last night. We were saying, it was like, well, girl, what y'all own?
Yeah, these kids, these some thick kids. But back to your question.
So my question was about HBCUs before you go in general. So what would you
advocate?
So, yeah, what's the advocate? Like, what is it that
to make the HBCUs on the same level as that of a Texas A&M, that of a University
of Texas?
But
what does that mean?
That of a North Texas.
What does that mean?
You campaign for them just like their counterparts campaign for those schools.
But when you say campaign, when you say, so sound like you're talking politics.
Because it becomes politics at that point. In office, you have to, it's a give and take. If you want $100 million to be spread through those four schools, then you have to sit at the table in that committee and say, you and Edmondson, the three of us are going to band together on this vote to keep this $100 million divided among these three or four schools.
But how do you even get that? Like, so as a state representative, right, you're elected, you're in the House, mm-hmm, you're there. Mm-hmm. And this bill, like, are you the one that's advocating for this? You're writing this bill from your office.
So the first step is going to the Speaker of the House, whoever that may be.
Not Nancy Pelosi.
No. it's a new guy. I can't remember his name because the old guy was doing some funny stuff. But you go to his office, you give him your request, and it's called a committee request. So you say, you want to be on the educational committee. You want to be on the budget committee. You want to take on as many committees as you think you can within your freshman year in office. Number one, you get to learn who moves, how they move, and what moves. And then you get you rally your group to campaign and champion for your cause. Like, the three of us may have the same causes, so the three of us are going to rally and champion in that committee to draft up an attachment to whatever's being proposed. So say, for example, the university college budget for Texas is going to be $1 billion, and out of that $1 billion, the three of us are campaigning for $100 million. So you have $900 million going to the other universities and colleges. So the three of us, we want to add writing that specifically states of that $1 billion, you separate $1 million to be individual. $100 million to be individually disseminated through those four schools.
To preserve the HBCUs. Correct. In the state of Texas.
And it's just a simple line item.
Right.
And then they, you know, if it's something you can sneak in, and I hate to say sneak in, but sometimes you have to, because those bills are so padded that, you know, no one knows what's in them unless you really sit there and read that. Mm-hmm. Most bills are books. Most bills are 300 plus pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Edmondson, you had it, because I have another follow up.
Back
question.
To Edmondson's question. Yeah. Living in Pflugerville, what issues you would go to Cheryl for, or your representative in this case, would be education and taxes at this moment. Because right now, even though Pflugerville, it's its own municipality, the governor of our great state has proposed to withhold taxes for certain cities who defund police officers. Which Pflugerville is one of those cities who has, they haven't agreed, they have a resolution to scale back on their police funds, which is out of your tax dollars as a resident of that city. And so you know, at this point, our governor is nothing but a puppet in so many
for
circles.
The racists.
Well, no, not for the racists.
Conservatives.
Well, not only that, he has no power. The most power that he's used has been during this corona pandemic, simply because our legislator's not in session and he didn't call a special session to say, let's revise the budget. Just like most people don't know, Texas has a $60 billion plus dollar rainy day fund that's just sitting there. And then they don't want to pay these unemployment benefits that Trump's administration took away or let expire.
Yeah, because my sister is feeling that right now. Shout out to she having to now do, what's that, a DoorDash? Not DoorDash. Is it DoorDash?
I think it's DoorDash.
Yeah, DoorDash to supplement, because she's still not full-time at her job because of Corona. And so when she was able to get the unemployment, that extra money, now that the extra money is gone, now she has been able to supplement that when we're still in the same situation.
But exactly. Wouldn't it be... Well, okay. Well, don't, but don't they, isn't it, if she part-time, don't they just pay her up to full-time? Like, they don't do that?
No, they calculate that in your income.
Yeah, they cut the extra funding that we're getting to supplement.
Well, I'm not talking about that $600. I'm talking about
on your regular unemployment. On your regular unemployment, if you, they make you fill out weekly, what is it? You have to check in every week or something, mm-hmm. and they ask you if you worked, and if you say yes, they ask you how much did you get paid, and then after you submit your claim, they'll come back and say, okay, because you made $300 and you would normally get $600 from them, mm-hmm. they would only give you $300 because you've already made $300.
Well, that would be like underemployment though, right?
No, you need to get your $600 plus the $300 you made because it's unemployment. It shouldn't even be a match. It should be, if I was approved for $600 a week, I can't live off of $600 a week, so I'm going to work for DoorDash and I made $300 that week. I should be able to keep the whole $900.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's what people are talking about now. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about the extra $400 that people are getting. We're just talking about basic unemployment. The basic,
okay. Well, I never knew how that worked because I used to work with people who got underemployment. I didn't know how. I'm talking Detroit though, so yeah. I don't know how.
Well, as a business owner, I gotta know how it worked because at the end of the day, it falls on me. Absolutely.
So. You had a few claims come in your way. A
few claims. Listen.
Been there.
Okay, so that's what I need to go to Cheryl about is education and you said taxes?
Yeah, and taxes, yeah. Okay. Because it's inevitable. It's going to go up.
So if you were elected the last time, and I always get amazed, Ryan, I'm still learning when it comes to the legislation session. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about hundreds of bills, mm-hmm. whether it's coming from the SB or what is the H?
HR.
Mm-hmm. HR. So HR for House Representatives and the SB from the Senate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I'm looking at the numbers and then the numbers determine the hierarchy of that bill. Yep. That, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of bull swanky when it comes to legislation. And, you know, of course, you know, like they trying to do this within aiming. And this is on I'm talking about tech. Well,
you're on the federal level.
Yeah, we can go both ways. It's the same process through federal or state, but we know how aiming. I'm going to be a judge. I'm not going to be created. I'm not here to legislate. You know,
That same old dog and pony show.
Girl, we know you're going to not legislate, but you're going to
dictate
what is considered law and what's not. You know, you're going to reverse where we are. But anyway. I've heard, like, I am a Federal Club member for the Human Rights Campaign.
Okay.
And, you know, as I hear more and more about the legislative sessions and how gruesome that is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could be days where you in, you know, the chambers all day, literally all day, like, when it mm-hmm. comes to the, like, how... How would you prepare yourself if you decide to? I know now you're saying you're going more of the mayor and
the council, local level.
The local mm-hmm. level. What were you preparing yourself to deal with a legislative session, which I heard is like one of the, especially in Texas, is one of the most gruesome process ever.
Well, I like challenges. So my preparation was merely to speak for a district that does not get any representation. I mean, the predecessor of that district was there 20 plus years. Mm. And to that credit, that person, I think 18 bills were enacted in their, you know, authored by them. Yeah.
So they didn't do nothing for the community.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Which community are you talking about?
Oh. Well, I'm just saying, you've been there 20 years and you only authored 18 bills. You, like you said, you're not really giving a voice for the people, you're basically personal allowing gain. What bills influence your district to whether you saying yes and you just go on what was being brought to you versus
championing for your district. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 18 out of 20-some years.
And one of those was the current toll that we have running through and throughout Manor and Pflugerville.
That fucking Manor toll.
Tell me about it.
But I heard they wanted to keep going through. Okay, so when you say you were going to, you like challenges. So what were you going to do? Like, were you going to pack you a lunch? like, girl, like, I mean.
They give you lunch breaks?
They be there all day, especially if they really...
They give you lunch breaks. Your aide can sit in your stead. It's only when you have to be down for a floor vote is when you have to physically be present. But for all intents and purposes, if you're on a committee, then no, you can't be in that chamber all day. You're going to be in your committee listening to whatever that topic is for whatever bill has been brought up that needs to pass committee to go to the floor.
Okay. Okay, so Edmonton, your district, any other questions you want? Like, he's talking about running for mayor or city council. Now, if he runs for mayor, you won't have much, or city council, because you are a Pflugerville resident. But for all, well,
some of Pflugerville is actually in Austin.
Well, I don't think he is. Are you in Austin?
Yeah, you in Pflugerville.
So why the switch? I guess, while we let Edmonton think.
So, I moved in the heart of Austin, and being down there for 5 years, the one thing in the last 2 years that's been a problem to me is our homeless population.
Mm. Oh, so okay. Many.
Well, yeah.
And it hurts my heart to see families in tents.
Oh, that reminds me. I've been watching a lot of documentaries about stuff that's going on back in the day, especially the Great Depression.
Exactly.
And
that's what it looks like.
It has gotten crazy. Like,
you have these tents, like locks. Across from City Hall, there's literally tents on the sidewalk and the hill area of the trail. Like, it's and it's frustrating because,
that was a law, though, that we wanted. We allowed that, right?
No, we did not want that. That was something that the city council took upon themselves to make an ordinance to say it was okay to camp in place is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And they didn't give any direction to it. They didn't give any guidance to it, anything. And when they voted for it, it was the last ordinance on their docket before they went on summer vacation. And so they voted for it, went on summer vacation, and like literally that following week, it was tents everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, Academy was even giving tents, which added to the tent population.
Have you seen it? So what is given law enforcement the authority?
They don't have any authority.
But they have been doing those.
Unless it is APD has it. DPS has.
Yeah, it's a state thing. Yes. So Abbott, so that's what it was. Abbott,
you're 50s. Camping like under 35 or 183 or 290, then that's state jurisdiction because that's state property. So the governor has instituted that DPS can go in and clear those people out.
Oh my God. And it's so sad. It's the literally most sad.
Go in, they bring a big barrel, and they throw all the people's stuff out, and the police officers give them a choice. You go to jail or you walk away.
That is terrible.
I saw it. Like, it was on 71, and I was trying to go to work, and it had that whole, you know, where they just built that new...
The new overpass?
The MARTA, the new MARTA station. Oh, right there. Across from the Target.
I know what you're talking about.
And I was there trying to go to work, and it was like 12 police cars and like the little, where you put people in.
The paddy wagon.
And the paddy wagons. And they were like, but I go across it. I mean, I drive across that way every day, and it's so many tents. It's like colonies of people underneath. And they just built that
brand new
that station. Mm-hmm. They just built that MARTA station, and it's so crowded of, you know, homeless or population under tents.
I have my question now, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no. Okay, so this is clearly an issue, which breaks my heart that we're going through this. But I think the problem, or I think one of the biggest issues is, and Tyreek and I went back and forth about this, and I know you say that we're not supposed to know this stuff, but my thing is, they bank on our ignorance that we don't know what to, because those people, they don't even know, like, okay, like, if they're going to go and fight or say anything or they need help, they don't really know how to speak to it probably in a legal way where they can make something happen. They could just pretty much say, I don't have any money. And they could just, and, you know, the politicians think we're stupid. Even the current ones that's running now, they just think we're dumb, mm-hmm. especially Black people. So they talk to us like that. And then mm-hmm. they somehow, the bull swanky, just the way they, like you were talking about wording and all that kind of stuff, they say something that's like, huh? And it pretty much, you know, you'll think they're saying one thing, like, oh yeah, we'll look into that, but pretty much they ain't doing shit.
Well, the difference between what your comment is and what's actually happening is the city of Austin has purchased 4 properties. The state has given acreages of land to put those displaced people on and give them resources. The problem is there's nobody facilitating the movement on this. There's monies for it. There's resources for it.
But that's what I'm saying.
But no one in... So it's the city council in any city gives direction on budget, period. So Austin's biggest issue this past session before they went on summer break this summer was police. And that was simply because of the George Floyd Black Lives Matter movement. Respected, appreciated, it's needed. And so my thing is, living in Austin all my life, only leaving to go to school and come back, and seeing the changes and seeing the not changes, APD's been killing Black and brown people since I've been born. And you would never know it because Austin, the council has a way of sweeping it under rug and paying these families millions of dollars to shut up.
Well, that's just what they do. But my question...
It is, but why?
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to say it's okay. I'm just saying, but no, that's just... clear. But I mean, it happened right in front of our eyes. And speaking of George Floyd, we need to watch that case too, because we're letting that sweep up under rug. There's some bull swanky going on.
No, we're not letting that sweep under rug. No. We saw what happened.
No. But did you hear what they said today? What they did with the dude? I forget his name. They gave him, like, they're trying to, like, lessen his charge.
They're trying to bring it down to manslaughter, but also murder. I think murder two, they dismissed murder three.
That's what I'm saying. I think that we need,
you gotta be on top of it, they own it, that legal shit that the people, they think the people not paying attention.
That's what I'm saying. Why is other stuff going? That's what I'm saying.
People are.
It's so hard to keep up. But my question is, okay, so as me, mm-hmm. like me being dumb blind, mm-hmm. so I don't, my thing is, I think that's terrible. And my thing is, I don't know. Okay, yeah, I can go vote, but then that's the whole thing. That's what I want to speak to. Like, people like me be like, okay, well, everybody's saying go vote, you know, get mm-hmm. your booty to the polls and all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the education is not there for me to know something with, like, what you just told me. And for me to go and vote, I don't even, I mean, of course, well, you need to do your homework. It's not necessarily sexy for us to go do that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I mean, the marketing is not the greatest. So it's not make, I'm just going to sit at home. Oh, let me go look at all these legislations and see what's going on. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So my thing is,
wine and legislation. I heard that bill was coming up. Right? Let me see what they're talking about.
Right. Like, you get drunk reading it.
Right, so what do you suggest people like I want to help or I want to do something about it? Like, yeah, well, get your booty to the pole. Okay, well, once I get there, I haven't done my homework.
Because no one told me anything. Yeah. And that's the disconnect. We're getting everyone out to vote, but it's like, okay, well, then what do I do when I get to the polls?
Yeah.
So our problem with our generation is our grandparents' generation had that person in their community who was that influencer.
I was about to say that they were connected to the
In our generation, we don't have anyone that we can honestly say, I believe what you say.
We're not connected. It's so far, like...
We're removed.
So far removed.
That's a whole nother subject with regards to gentrification. Mm-hmm. The reason for gentrification is to displace us, because we're stronger in a community together versus being spread out in East Austin, West Austin, North Austin, downtown Austin, mm-hmm. South Austin, Southeast Austin. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Austin City Council, there's only one black person on the dais. And is that a representation of the city that I live in?
Well, I think so, yes. And that was another thing, too.
I mean,
so,
I get it. Austin does have a less than 10% black population.
Less than that now. It got to be like less than 7.
Well, it's less than, it's way less than that. But I'm giving it credit for saying Central Texas.
Okay.
But prior to now, there were blacks like currently the current county judge, Sam Bisco, was our elected county judge for 15 years.
Of Travis County,
yeah. 15 years. He was a black man. The tax assessor for Travis County, which controls all of the money that flows into each individual city in Travis County, she was black.
When you go get
and
that.
She was an elected official for 20 years.
Tag renewals.
Yeah.
Going to
it
the
was
tax.
Her.
She's yeah,
and what hurt me when I went to the polls this election, they tried to put a black woman against the incumbent, and I was gonna vote for her.
Wasn't it Brian Effie or something? What's the
Brian Effie is the incumbent? Okay. Yes, and that's the person I will publicly say I voted for, because I realized what was happening with the other individual that was on the ticket. We have to pay attention to these marketing campaigns. When you can't just vote for, or you can't vote for a person because you identify with them color wise.
Oh, we know that.
That's not in your best interest.
Right, because they be used.
But you have those of us who do.
Yeah.
And so the Republican Party thought it'd be a good idea to make Travis County purple by putting a black woman on the ticket as tax assessor, because the current tax assessor, for whatever reason, is not doing a superb job, which in his first 2 years, he did kind of mess up. Mm-hmm. He did. He admitted it. And I, as a man, I applaud him for admitting his mistakes, but mm-hmm. he turned it around. You know, he had employees that
so
he didn't know was stealing.
So what do that mean when a tax assessor mess up?
Well, he had, so the substations, like Pflugerville has a substation, East Austin has a substation, West Austin has a substation, Southwest Austin has a substation. And so two of the substations, those employees were literally stealing like hundreds of thousands of dollars and no one knew. But as the tax assessor, it is your job to look at those reports when they come in from those satellite offices.
Okay.
But he was too busy trying to facilitate the main office. It was just too much for him to, it was more than he bargained for.
Yeah, that's why they shut all those ones
down.
That's
why they shut them all down. And made everybody come.
Have to go to, yeah.
Because when the two came up, the way that they came up, they shut them all down and they ended up being under federal investigation. And now they're starting to open back up as drive-thru only. But mm-hmm. still, you know, that was a lifesaver. Who wants to go all the way?
Yeah, no, those were the things. But I heard, like, man, Krista was talking about that at work, because, and I don't think, the reason why we really want to have this conversation, because I feel like a lot of times we just really not paying attention to our everyday lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about the tax assessment office. We're literally talking about where you have to go get your car renewal.
Your car renewal, your property taxes.
Yeah, your property. Like, these are places you go every year.
You start a business, all of that.
And the person that's over that is a person that is elected. And how it's running, how it's functioning, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So this is something, you know, whether you got to go get an admission, you know how some states you got to go get an admission. This is a part of that process, but we just take it for granted. We do the stuff.
Because that's what we're taught to do.
We're taught to do that, but we're mm-hmm. not understanding that this is someone that was elected
mm-hmm.
to make you do this thing that you do every year that you don't even think about it. My thing say 10-20, I know I have to go get that renewed. You get what I'm saying? But I'm not paying attention to But I knew he was on the ballot. So I paid attention because he was on the ballot this session. But I might pay attention to that, but I'm paying attention to that little blue sticker that say 1020 that needs to be updated. But we don't pay attention to that. Almost everything that we have to do is probably somebody that was elected to kind of govern that or even come up with other new legislation or whatever. And I just want to kind of put that out there because we don't pay attention to that. We don't pay attention to when we look at the little taxes. And we look when we get that renewal and we pull that blue sticker and you see that receipt and you see all those line items. But you see all those line items about why you paid that $78 and where that $78, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever, how much you paid or for most of us that late fee when you waited to after the October, you know, for me, if I wait to November, that late fee going to be on there. That is from the person that you elected.
Yeah,
that was elected, not necessarily that you voted for.
Yeah,
grassroots are not like this, but that's what the grassroots people community, they talk about the same thing all the time is that, well, some of them say don't vote at all, but you know, but some of them do say pay attention to the locals. But I think, again, I'm like, I agree with that. But it's an education thing. It's like, I know people every day is just not going to want to go and look into that. I wish somebody I wish there was somebody who would help that could be like a person, like a middleman. Like, okay, well, let me break this down and make this. Because I don't think people know. Because a lot of people think, you know, getting Kamala and Biden in office is just going to be
That ain't going to have nothing to do with your everyday
life.
That's
what I'm saying. But they don't think that. They're like, well, y'all better get y'all butt to the polls and get Kamala up in there, the HB.
Said nothing about Bruce. When you think about, right. I would say like that is because that's something we people always talk about renewing their tags. Well, that is something we got to talk about every year. All the time. Everybody.
Yeah.
But we ain't never talking about the person that we voted to actually mandate that and actually run that whole process.
Yeah, but I don't, right, because we don't, like you just said, we're not taught, we're taught to not even think about that. And I pray that just so a way that we can, you know, be a little bit better educated on that. So we'll know these things. So because I'm pretty sure it'll be more cognizant for some people. Like, okay, well, yeah, I need to, you know, this whole, and know what the issues are, and know what this person's trying to do, know we need to do it ourselves, but I just think that's a big disconnect.
It's not that we need to do it by ourselves. Some people aren't apt to understand what they're reading.
That's what I was telling him the last time. I was like, people don't understand. It goes right over your head.
Well, because we're not even, it's systematic. We're not taught to want or to even have the skill set. We're not taught that. We're not taught to talk about, like, that's why I just broke it down. Like, it's so simple. We talk about renewing our tags every year. We are never taught about to worry
that
about
that's an elected office.
That's an elected office. We don't even know. You know what I'm saying? We see the blue signs around election time, during the primaries that most people don't go. You know, that we see those signs that we just ride on by. And I know for me, it's been many elections, primary elections or local elections that I go and I just do any, meeny, miny, mo. Because I do not know these folks. I do not know all the judges. The last election, I was trying to do good, but I forgot what my address was the last time. And so my district, girl, it was all these judges. I was like, girl, I don't know all these judges.
It's like, who the fuck are you?
I don't know all these judges.
So
you'd
be
can
I go to my car, please get my phone?
Well, I start skipping them now. I do start not voting for a lot of the judges because I don't know. Try not to do a straight ticket
don't
party.
Don't do a straight ticket.
But at the same time, I'm literally have the power in my hands to vote for somebody that will have the power in their hands, whether I go home one night or I'm sentenced to 3 months or 200 hours of community service. I literally have that power, but they don't teach us that. They don't teach us that we do have the power to vote for the persons that is in control of the sentences we get when we are prosecuted for a crime.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they appoint, I mean, they are appointed at the, you know, the highest Supreme Court, but it was at least 5 judges on there. And I'm like, why is all these judges on here?
And it clearly said non-expiring term.
Yes. All these judges was on that last ballot. It was a lot. So one of the other things before we kind of wrap this up a little bit, I want to you brought it up about we go back to wrap it up the defunding of the police. So Austin took a huge stand, and we get a lot of repercussions from the state of Texas and Greg Abbott. And I know we have grassroots organizations that have did a lot of work of really putting that to the forefront. That has gotten a lot of death threats.
I'm sorry for them in that situation.
Yeah, a lot of death threats and stuff like that. So we know George Floyd. We know Ramos. Mm-hmm. We know all of this that...
this is just right now.
Yeah, this is right now, right? And we know the historical complications of APD and black and brown people in Austin. So Austin have the city council. They approve this defunding, this whether...
Well, they it's not technically... It technically is not defunding. It's reappropriating... some of the police officers
defunding the police
funds
way.
And putting them into other services to offset.
So defunding the police in a nice way, in a political way. So we actually did what a lot of cities are still fighting to do. We actually hear, like he stated at the beginning of this podcast, Austin is known for its liberal legislations, but we get a lot of slack for it, right? They're attacking us. So what do you feel like? I mean, I'm listening to you, so I assume that you are here for it, you know, as a black man living in Austin and figuring out ways to not necessarily just defund the police, but other ways to
keep a
safe city.
It makes no sense that our police department takes like 60% of
our budget.
Our city's budget.
That's crazy.
That makes no sense.
60%.
You know, the fire department is begging for money. EMS is begging for money.
60%.
You know, and I get that 60% of the budget includes the police department, the 911 exchange, the 311 exchange, the 211 exchange. I get all of that.
The 988 is coming out.
I get all 22. Of that. But those to me should be like, LA, for example, all of that is separate. Literally separate. LAPD is LAPD. The 911 is 911, and so on and so on. And for Austin to justify, oh, we'll just lump it all together and give them all this money, when it's at the discretion of that current police chief, like the previous police chief before Manley, this man came in and wasted money to paint all of the squad cars black and white.
But he's the police chief of Houston right
now. He is the police chief of Houston right now. But
third largest city in the country.
But again, but he has a bigger budget. And even they're having their woes with their budget. But you're wasting money on a fucking car when that money can go into a service to say, okay, let's have the police officers walk through the neighborhoods and pay them to talk to the neighbors or to talk to the constituents of that city. Friendly police officers is what they're called. You know, we don't have that anymore. These kids are, when they see a police officer in East Austin, West Austin, South Austin, they're afraid.
I don't fuck with them.
I don't fuck with them either. I don't want them around
they
here.
Gas me. Oh, they did that to me and them. Oh, I'm still, you know, I should sue y'all asses.
Well, I mean, I got pulled over 3 times in 1 month.
Milk all in my face.
And the most frustrating part, the first time I got pulled over was right after my car had got broken into. And so I got pulled over and the gentleman was like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, yeah, probably because I had my phone in my hand. I wasn't necessarily talking on it, but it was in my hand. And he was like, yes, that's why I pulled you over. And he commences to ask me how my day was going. I said, well, it was going fine up until you pulled me over and asked me why you were pulling me over when I got a whole car with 4 busted windows and I have your department telling me that no one is going to come out and do forensics and tell me who busted my windows out and took whatever they took out of my car, only for you in the midst of a pandemic to pull me over and give me a ticket for holding a cell phone. That's ridiculous to me.
And what's ridiculous is living in Wells Branch when you have to deal with Austin PD
and Pflugerville PD,
Texas State PD,
The sheriff.
First of all, That was the most stressful time of my life. Don't move to no incorporate.
Yeah, Wells Branch is because everybody governs Wells Branch.
You're governed by every law enforcement in the local jurisdiction.
But at the end of the day, you belong to Travis County, so they sending you to the sheriff.
But it's too much. It's too much policing. Like, that showed me how when you could be somewhere and you're over-policed.
Well, hell, Texas, period. You have Texas Rangers, Texas DPS.
Constable.
The constable, the sheriff, the local PD. I'm missing one. It's another one.
Too much.
The marshals.
Marshals. And they're supposed to be people who has escaped.
First
of all, going back to the, I'm going to find his name because I want to give him a shout out. He is on the list of the top five most wanted. Man from back in the day. I watched the Unsolved Mysteries. We're going to wrap it up. So let's all three real quick. So why should we vote? We're going to ask you. Well, Emerson already talked about this, so we want to hear from you.
My opinion on voting is, first and foremost, vote in your local races because those govern your day-to-day life, period. I mean, if you don't have a say-so in your day-to-day life, then you're going to end up where we are today. Excuse me. And even if your candidate doesn't win who you think speaks for you, you still have a voice in that, like I... All of the council members that are in Austin, they hear from me periodically, if not regularly, simply because my programs deal with a lot of city and county dollars. So I need them to understand how important it is for us to get our services to black and brown people, period. So voting, and I agree with Edmondson, someone needs to, and we can populate, opinionate, and give our direction for how that should take place. But until somebody can actually stand up and not be afraid of the consequences thereafter, to give reference to what's going on. Like right now, the big issue is Prop A, yes or no?
Well, that's the one with all that...
with all that money.
That money... For railroads.
But mind you, we just voted on another proposition for $1 billion that no one knows where that money went. These two are the same propositions. They're along the same lines. For transportation. They're all having to do with easing the stress of transportation.
I said no.
And so I said no as well.
I need a plan, a name.
Well,
who,
shit,
what, you, where, how, when.
But you're going to raise our taxes 25%. And it's a pandemic. This is what I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it alone. We're in a pandemic. You want to raise our taxes. You want to defund. You want to, as a state, take away monies that's supposed to go to that city in the way of property taxes because you don't like the way that city is governing. You know, that's not fair. And we as a society are almost halfway letting it happen. Because, I mean, you have a governor who's too coward to sit in the city that he's talking about making changes to go all the way up to Dallas.
Yeah, he don't even live here.
Excuse me, Fort Worth. He lives in the governor's mansion.
Here in Austin?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he didn't live there.
No, he lives there full time. That's free housing. Where he gonna go?
Well, you know,
he's not gonna do like Rick Perry and burn it down.
Okay, I'm about to say Rick Perry didn't stay in the governor's house.
That bitch burned it down. Excuse me, allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay, Emerson, what do you want? What do you want? Have you? Do you feel a little bit more inspired? You've already voted. We've already voted. But do you feel like the people like you, the people you represent, did they get a little bit more insight from this episode? A little bit.
Well, yes, they did, because it just reiterated to the fact that we need to be more concerned about our local elections as opposed to the big ones. But it's going to take way more than just that, because there's so much programming that's going on even right now that, you know, it's just going to take a lot more than that. So, but I mean, this was helpful, and I was educating even myself. So, yeah, we need to just get our booties to the locals.
Get your booties to the local. So, Mr. Baker... How can the folks at What Works For Us podcast, if they're listening, you know, follow you and wanted to learn more about what you stand for as you continue to do public service?
They can go actually to our social services page, which is peopleforchangetexas.org. If they just want to see what my movements are, my personal Instagram is very G-rated, but I try to.
Well, I hope so.
I try to get. Well, no, you know, some people, they give their worst opinion online or whatever. Oh,
okay.
You know, but yeah. I try
oh,
to.
Oh, you mean like controversial?
Yeah.
You're saying around
so
politics.
I try to give everyone, you know, the pros and the cons at the same time, because I try to be a neutral person, but it's ATX underscore John underscore Blake.
that's all very political.
Whatever. yeah, and I mean, if you DM me, I always respond, but not to the explicit stuff.
Well, I'm fucking my way to the top.
We know you are.
And when you see me in office, knowing I put in that work.
We know you're going to be under them tables.
Okay, I'm going to do what I need to do for our people. I got y'all. Y'all talking about OnlyFans.
While enjoying yourself.
I'm taking OnlyFans straight to the Capitol building, straight to the White House.
Damn.
Nancy, girl, you better be ready for me to take over, honey, when I get voted in third in line, okay? And they're going to know that I was a whore all the way to the top. And I'm going to be a proud whore, because I'm going to be a whore for you guys, okay? I'm going to use my brain and my body.
I think you're just going to enjoy that second one a little too much.
I might. But long as I hear with the voice of the people and I take it to the highest court and the highest room. But anyway, until then, hit me up. Mr. Telltales on Instagram, Mr. Telltales on Twitter. Not my freak Twitter.
And, you got a free Twitter? What's that?
And on Facebook and all that good stuff. Emerson, how can they get in contact with you as, you know, represent the people?
Yeah, yes, I'm still going to represent the people. So I'm not doing none of that stuff that we was talking about. He was just about to do.
Hey girl, you already done it.
No,
you already done it.
No, I'm not. I'm
that's
not
how doing. You think how you think she got this this blog. I'm just, ooh, I'm just joking.
Shade.
What kind of cheap bitch do you take me for? For a damn blog. It don't cost that much to start a blog. Anyway, you can catch me. About, speaking of my blog, it's
what you catch?
What?
What you catch?
What do you mean I'm catching?
You said you can catch me.
I'm not catching. You can reach out to me.
Use that education to turn things around.
Switch it up.
You can reach out to me on essenceofstyle.com or essenceofstyle on Instagram. Click the link in my bio. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But you go click the link in my bio. You can find me everywhere else.
Oh. All right, y'all. Holla.
Holla.
Thank you, Warren. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Warren, for the education.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the education. We needed this for our folks. So, go vote.
Please,
either way,
please.
Do y'all still got 2 weeks to do some research?
11 days.
YouTube University.
Google University.
The University of Google. You got a few options. Click on these people and learn who they are. But like Emerson said, it won't just happen today, but you can start today.
Oh, yeah, you can always start
today. Holla.
Just